So this is going to be part two of Roman Reigns episode 16, El Paso Strong. Now I'm recording at a different library than the one where I was at previously. And I just set up, it took me forever to set up and to sign in, get a space, maybe record for as much as I can, and then go from there. So what I was talking about previously was kind of going for the aftermath of what happened, but also maybe recapping everything. So if you don't listen to part two, I don't know if I'm going to incorporate these two into one long episode, or maybe I'll do part one and then I'll do part two. More than likely I'll do part two, part one and part two. So now it's been exactly a month and 4 days since the tragedy happened at the Cielo Vista Supercenter Walmart. So here I am looking back at these tragic events. So I don't know, it's a little bittersweet considering where I am and what I'm doing. So also the people are kind of a distraction, but not much. At least in the other room, I was sequestered here. I'm kind of like in the middle of things. Like, I see people walking around and people are, you know, carefree and they're not worried about things. And I would say the mood here in this public library, much like at the one that I work at, is people are cautious, but they're not scared anymore. But it's not like they forget. The city just, I believe, last Sunday or last weekend prior, they had a benefit concert with Khalid, that famous pop star kid who's been, you know, putting El Paso on the map with his music. I've heard his music. It's good. It's really good stuff. So apparently he's from El Paso, or he lived in El Paso, and he's, you know, he's supposed to do something the weekend of the tragedies. Not related to El Paso, but I think he was on tour or something, and it's the news hit. And as soon as it happened, he expressed solidarity for El Paso and all the victims and everything. So he promised to set up a benefit concert, and he did last weekend, I believe. And a lot of famous Texans, a lot of people were there, Matthew McConaughey, etc. It was sold out. Even my sister and my niece went to that. And I'm just glad that they both were able to still be around and be able to go, because some of the family members of the victims weren't so lucky. So you always gotta count your blessings, I guess. So at the end of part one, I was discussing sort of what happened afterwards. I mean, a lot of people didn't know what was happening. So just to recap, I was scheduled to work that Saturday. That was probably the first Saturday that I was scheduled to work at my new job at the library. So working in a public city building, in a public area, and, you know, with the public. So now removed from it, I'm not worried or scared about going to work or working with the public, but it just strikes me as funny that the very first Saturday that I was scheduled to work is when that happened. So it was a scary thing. It was scary, not so much fearing for my safety, although when they told us to lock down the library, I had to run out and get the flag, and people were still pulling up, and we had to turn people away, and you just didn't know who was going to pull up or what. My boss told us, which came down from her boss, from the higher-ups, at least from the city or city employees or city government, instructed all city buildings to be locked down or shut down because of the incident. So I was in the lab that morning, right at the hour that it was about to happen. So we open at 10 on Saturdays, 10 to 6. We show up at 9 and get an hour lunch or whatever. But I was scheduled to do the lab that day because there was only three of us. It was myself, my boss, and then a part-timer. And then from there, yeah. So it was just three of us running the library. So after doing all the opening procedures, I put up the flag and, you know, shelving, do all the normal stuff. I was put in the lab, so that's where I went. And the lab is kind of in the back part of the of our library. There's no real exits back there. There's high windows and stuff, but no way out. So I was there. There wasn't that many people there, but it was about maybe two or three people, usually regulars that just go most of the week, sometimes on Saturdays. And what transpired is I'm there at the lab. I'm barely setting up. I was on the computer actually, like, looking up news about what happened. Your own library. Oh, this is hilarious. Anyway, so I'll probably give you the sentence. This weirdo with this, like, Pac-Man shirt staring across the computers at me. Fucking weirdo. And now he's gone. Anyway. Fucking maybe it was my train of thought. Okay. And yes, he was white, by the way, so there's that. So I was in the lab, of course. Just three people. We hand out temporary passes to those who don't have library cards. But anyway, I'm there, barely setting up, logging in. I get a couple texts from my ex, and something like a shooter, question mark, or active shooter, or something like that. So, distractions. Well, I'm not going to let too many distractions get in the way of this again, but I'm probably have to edit part two. So, yeah, I got a text from my ex, active shooter, question mark, so I texted her back, and then I got on the news. This was around a little bit after 10:30, so these events allegedly, according to all accounts, happened at around the 10:30 mark. The dude was there around that time, at around 10 is when they said, and yeah, they said that within 6 minutes the cops and everyone showed up. But yeah, so what happened was I checked the news, and of course all the banners are breaking news, there's an active shooter and we need to take care of this and people stay away. So that's what they said. There was an active shooter at Walmart. Well, the reports mentioned Cielo Vista, so they were saying that Cielo Vista is, sorry, I'm having a drink. So Cielo Vista is a mall. So there's a mall, Cielo Vista, that's right off I-10. I-10 headed west. So it's right off of that, which is where this scumbag drove to from. Not even going to mention his town, but yes, he's from Texas, but he's not from El Paso. But anyway, so he drove all that distance overnight to show up in the morning with a semi-automatic gun or whatever the fuck he had. I'm not even going to mention that. I don't care about those details. Before all this, I wasn't a super proponent of guns, and now after that, it's still not something that I am looking into. But that's just me. I'm not saying no one should have guns. I'm not saying that no one should be able to defend themselves. It's just not something that I don't want to do. I'm also not saying, oh, I'm going to let anyone just walk all over me. No, but I just can't, you know, perpetuate more violence with that. So, but anyway, yeah. Cielo Vista is where the first report said that this happened, but it really wasn't Cielo Vista. It was the Walmart that's off the freeway. So, as I'm checking the news from the computer lab, it says, breaking news, active shooter at Cielo Vista Mall. That was really wrong. It was actually at the Walmart adjacent to it. So the mall's on the right side of this large exit. The by street is Hawkins, which is where the mall is located off of Hawkins. If you drive further down a large mall parking lot, you'll see all these restaurants, Red Lobster, Olive Garden, etc. And then if you drive a little further down, westbound, you'll hit the Walmart Supercenter, and right across the street from it is a Sam's Club. with a gas station there. So it's a really popular spot just because of the gas stations, and it's off the freeway. So yeah. So the initial reports and everything coming out of the news, local news, was that the shooting was at Sila Vista, so they evacuated Sila Vista. And there's a video and footage of lockdowns from inside Sila Vista Mall and stores and stuff, and managers trying to organize people, but it really didn't happen there. It was quite a distance away from the mall, actually, thankfully. This happened at the Walmart. There's also videos from inside the Walmart, from the McDonald's restaurant inside, and just all the eyewitness accounts and firsthand accounts about people hiding and, you know, doing that stuff, doing anything to survive this type of incident. So those videos are actually kind of disturbing to watch, but I did watch some of them. Most of them were kind of shown on the news, and that's another thing. In the aftermath, I just, you know, it was the most news I've consumed all year, local news, and it was hard to watch. It was hard to think about and process, but we did it. And so we just had to take all that in. And so yeah, I'm at work, I'm looking at this, I'm texting my mom, texting my sisters. My oldest niece texted me, asked my ex if her kids were okay. She said that they were supposed to go to the mall or something, or to some birthday party at some adventure, kids adventure place on the west side. So that's what they were supposed to do. So I don't think they were really supposed to go near there. She might have mentioned that she was going to take them to the mall to shop for something, but unfortunately that didn't happen. Thankfully it didn't. Even if we're not together, so I don't wish anyone that I know, or that I, that's not who I am. Yeah, so a lot of communication with that. So closed up the library. We were only there for like 3 hours or so. So clocked in at 9. By noon, we were all, you know, out. Locked the library and were told to go home and be safe. There was a meeting for the blind in the library, so we had to help those folks out. We had to send them out. And, you know, but yeah. We just had to help them load up and load out. So but yeah, they were nice enough to let us you know, no. We were the ones to help them load out. You know, they had stuff. They were doing courses or something. It was a meeting, but they went to Jimmy John's and got us catering. So before we left, so we also had food, which I felt bad about just because I didn't expect that from them. But it happened, and it was nice. So, yeah. It was kind of bittersweet eating that afternoon, as I was watching the news, feeling like complete shit. And it was just the vibe of this entire city, that whole day, that whole weekend, all this stuff that was going to happen was just flushed down the toilet by one person's bigotry and bullshit and ideologies. But so this kid, because he is a kid as well as a scumbag, but yeah, he just tried to take peace of mind and unity away from us, and he didn't succeed. He took lives, and for that he'll have to pay for. But so there was supposed to be a Blink-182 concert that weekend. It was canceled. What else? There was supposed to be just a lot of activities happening that didn't happen. What ended up happening is I just got home, watched the local news. It wasn't fun. I don't like watching the news. I just don't like that at all. I don't like watching anything like that, but I did. And it was hard. It was a bright, sunny afternoon. It was hot. a lot of stuff being shown on the news, people, wounded people being taken across from Walmart into Sam's Club, first responders, etc. It was painful to think about the ages and sex and nationalities of the people that were hurt. And so that was hard to deal with. But after that, I watched the news, I heard the stories coming out, and it just affected me. It affected everyone. But I remember I wasn't the first one to get home. So in the last half of this, I mentioned that I left work and called my brother Keith. We talked for a bit, and then my mom called, so I had to let him go. And but thankfully, he was nowhere near the mall. So what ended up happening is my mom called to see if I could possibly pick up my nieces from their gymnastics class, which was also not near the mall, but my mom sometimes would take them to gymnastics and then take them to the mall afterwards. And I mean, she hardly goes to that Walmart. That Walmart is out of the way for us, thank God. My younger sister used to work there, but thankfully she wasn't working there. Anyone that we actually had to worry about, thankfully. But it was hard to just to get through the whole day. But anyway, my oldest sister got home first, and my oldest niece. So they were also out and about because she has dance practice and stuff. So yeah, she so they usually go to practice and then come back and stuff. But thankfully, they weren't near the mall or anything, so they're okay. It's just scary when every one of us is out. But yeah, so they got home first. They were okay. My oldest niece actually texted me and told her I was fine. I didn't want her to worry or be scared, so she just worried about me. She's always worried about me. But I assured her I was okay. It was just scary to not know what was happening and everyone just be in a state of panic and confusion. So I also texted my ex-coworker, Donna. She used to work with me in my last job, and she was in the process of changing jobs. But when that was going on, she was still employed where we used to work. And so she kept sending me stuff about, you know, it's more than one shooter, it's the Mexican mob, it's a mob hit, it's this and that, which none of it turned to be true, but this mass hysteria is just a part of this misinformation. So there's a lot of that going on as well. It was frightening to consider, to deal with. But my main priority was my mom, my sisters, my nieces. Yes, I texted my ex, and thankfully she was out of the way, and her family as well, all accounted for. Her oldest was actually down from Oregon or whatever, Washington State. I forget where she lives, but she's actually down visiting for the month, so that must have just been not fun for her dad to hear. But so there was that. There was that part of it. The frightening aspects of it, and not insecurity, but the fear of what is happening, the panic, which was just something odd. So from that moment when we all got the news and when we all got home, I was just relieved to hear that everyone was actually going to be home or on their way home. So I was actually tried to go pick up my nieces from the gym, their gymnastics class. But my mom called back and said that my sister was already on the way, so I didn't have to worry about that, thankfully. And so that was good. So I just headed home. My mom was at the gym. She said that everybody was transfixed, glued to the TV. And they were just in utter disbelief. So I can relate. So when I got home, I saw that my older sister, Carla, was there. And my niece was there. So I just go in and say, hey, I'm here. I'm okay. Who else is on their way? So I was texting with my sister and also my mom. So just as I was coming in, my sister and nieces showed up, and then my mom showed up, and it was just like this flood of relief, which I felt guilty about for the rest of that day and the weekend and the weeks after. So I just was grateful and happy, and just I was relieved that they were okay. I just don't know how else to explain it. I just was happy that they were home, and I just, yeah, I feel for the people that actually lost their children, their family members, their spouses, their friends, all of those people. So it's hard. And then watching the news and seeing everybody react, and the politicians and the lawmakers, and that just didn't really agree. It didn't really faze me that much. It wasn't something that I'd actually want to worry about, is the politics behind this. For me, it was like the loss of life and how it affected everybody's perspective, everybody's, you know. When you're in this type of cultural landscape, which is predominantly Mexican, you know, it's Mexico, New Mexico, Texas, this is America, this is the United States, but we do have a lot of Mexican heritage here. A lot of people live here. We have a diverse population here, as I'm sure everybody else does, but here at least it's predominantly Mexican. And to have that notion that somebody's going to come to this city and target people, the majority of the people that are here who are Mexican, he's going to come and do that for whatever misguided, misconstrued beliefs that he might have, which is ridiculous to me that somebody would do that, that somebody would travel that far for that. And I know it's happened a lot. These incidences have happened for so many reasons, and it happens too often, and that's what I hate. That's that feeling of indignation and that feeling of helplessness and the feeling that my nieces have to grow up in a climate where they have to be taught active shooter scenarios at school. Just that Monday before this happened, we were shown at a new employee orientation that very same thing, an active shooter training video. So that's what we had to contend with at one point, is deal with an active shooter situation, scenario rather, in a work orientation or training video, which was seen kind of odd to me that Monday, and ominous now that I think about it, because we watched the video, and then literally that Saturday I brought it up to a coworker, like, we literally watched this before the orientation or during the orientation, and now we are living it. So it's just a lot of emotions, a lot of thoughts going on through everyone's minds, I suppose. So when everybody got home and I was watching the news, we didn't watch the news together. I mean, we were glad that everybody got home safe and stuff, but we weren't like huddled together. It's kind of weird to describe it that way, but I was just glad that my nieces were with their moms, my sisters, and that my mom was there, but everybody was kind of watching the TV individually in their own rooms. The girls were actually just playing and drawing and coloring, and I mean, they could probably hear the TV, but they weren't really watching the news, but they know what happened. They all know they're pretty smart. We don't keep stuff from them, but we also get scared of just worrying about them. I know I do, because I can't be there to protect them all day. I live with them, but it sucks that I can't. It sucks that I can't. They have to go to school and worry about things, and they have to be at school, out in public, anywhere they go. Even here, even in our city that was voted like the safest city in the United States. One of the safest. But that's where we live at now. So everybody was watching the news separately. I was on the living room on the couch just laying down. I didn't feel good at all. It's just this horrible sinking feeling, this thing that happened, this cloud of horror and death and despair just was looming high over everybody. And it was an ugly feeling. It was pretty bad. It's already, all right, give me 25 minutes. Oh, they're already doing shutdown procedures on the computers, which is cool. Their computers are nicer than ours. We don't have that nice computers in our branch, but it's okay. All right. So we watched the news, and I think I was just transfixed in front of the TV for the longest time after I got home. I remember eating the food that they got us from the catering, but I don't remember what it tasted like. It was just something to do, but it wasn't something like all the flavor and all the zest was just lost from that day. So anything that I had planned to do, I just lost all motivation to do it. So, but yeah, so I remember that it was later that day, it was way past sunset, and you know, texting with people, tweeting some stuff, nothing inflammatory, nothing too off the beaten path, just like, I can't believe this is horrible. More of that, and also not like asking for people's sympathy, just more like, hey, this happened, why does this happen? What, everybody that I know, most people that I know, not everybody, but I know people from most races, and you know, never has crossed my mind that their mere existence or the fact that they're part of this country has any effect or bearing on my life negatively. So I just kind of put it in perspective like that for me. And it was a strange night. So I had my fill of the news. It just, you know, kept spiraling, and the president's coming. Oh, the president expresses sympathy. The president, who gives a fuck? I didn't. I felt like my soul was heavy and shattered by this, even though I didn't know the people that died. I didn't know a single one. For what it's worth, like, anyone that I know that I work with didn't know any of those people, but they were human beings, man. They lived and shopped, or they were here, so just because I didn't know them doesn't mean that I can't mourn people that die senselessly like this, and it was hard. So what I did is, when I had my fill of the news, and you know, I didn't really talk to my sisters and my mom and stuff, didn't really talk about it for the first couple days after. I mean, we have since talked about stuff, but for the most part, we just kind of were all together at the house, but, you know, our minds were elsewhere. So I didn't go to the gym and didn't get a chance to. I thought I would. So what I did was I went up the road a little bit to this new road that just got built, this new shortcut, and it's well lit. It's in front of this new private school. It's really close by. I went and parked at the corner and just walked there and walked around and just, hey man, I'm not, just to clear my head. So I put on some Tell 'Em Steve Dave, put on some Tool, and just walked and walked. I might have been out there for more than 2 hours just walking. The only reason that I stopped was because the sandstorm started kicking up, like it started raining all over the city that night. It was like so hot. I don't think they predicted rain, but it happened, and it's as if the skies opened up and just, yeah, the weather was reflecting how everybody was feeling, that day. And even now that I'm talking about this, I wasn't tired today, but now that I'm talking about it, I'm starting to feel exhausted, even though I'm, you know, I kind of slept. That's my day off. And all right, yeah, I just went to see a movie earlier. I went to see it, Chapter 2, but it kind of just, it gets pushed out of my mind because I just, I don't know, just thinking back on it here, like a month and some days after, still like raw nerve. I mean, it doesn't make me distrust people or look at people differently. I mean, people are a little more vigilant, but that's not to say that when I see white people now, I run. I mean, I'm probably make that joke the more removed we are from the incident, but not now. And I don't know, it's just painful to think about. I don't know, it's like, why can't things be different, or why us, why this city, why that Walmart, why those people, all that stuff that goes through your head, like what makes that so, I don't know, just a lot of existential questions about it. So I went out and walked for a couple hours, just essentially a newly paved street and desert all around and clouds, and I could look into the city, I could see the mountain and the star and everything, but we literally live way outside the city. Well, not way, but not within city limits. But I could look in the direction, it was just dark and clouds and the moon, and just got very introspective and listened to stuff to try and settle my mood and try to be happy, or try to, well, not be happy, but try to feel better about everything. And it took a while. It took a while after at work. It was just a lot of unease. And yeah, it's even driving by there now, it's like you get a feeling there's bad energy there where the stuff happened. And the more I saw the news reports about, you know, the negligence in some people's parts, like the bank inside the Walmart locking people out, not letting some people in, and resulting in the death of some kids and a guy being shot. And there's going to be a lot of litigation now against Walmart and the bank, and I feel like it's justified. I mean, not that I'm like, oh, good, go after their fucking money. Money is not going to replace people that died, but some people fucked up, and it cost those people their lives. And yeah, I just don't know what I would do in that situation, but I do sympathize. And afterwards, a lot of people donated blood. My sister donated. I couldn't, because anytime I try to sign up for an appointment, yeah, just my work schedule just wouldn't allow it. And I mean, I just started, so. But I donated. I got one of those El Paso Strong shirts and just what little I could to help, and rallied people and shared stuff to see if people could donate blood or donate money or time or whatever was needed. And it didn't feel super great about it. I just wish I could have done more. But, you know, it was just out of left field. And just talking about it now is still, like, just fucking exhausting. Like, I don't know. It's just a mental strain, and it doesn't feel like it goes away, and maybe with time, but it sucks that Yeah, it sucks that we have to live in this kind of world where we're looking over our shoulders just for being who we are. And yes, Mexicans were targeted, but I don't feel like, oh, well, not everybody's after me. There's paranoia, there's, I gotta check my exits and my surroundings now and again, but just be more alert. But I don't know. You just try to give people the benefit of the doubt. I work with the public at a library, so and literally anybody and everybody goes in there, but you just are never really prepared for these types of things unless you're alert and aware and know. Always look around, look everywhere, look constantly. But it's hard. It feels like the city's on the mend. It feels like everybody's just barely getting backed into some semblance of normalcy, which I don't know if that'll ever be the case, at least now for the remainder of the year. But that's what people are trying to do. That's what I'm trying to do. I mean, I always worry about, and I'm not ashamed to, but she's also from, well, she's not from there, but she was born in Vegas and there was a shooting in Vegas. She lives in Colorado. There's been fucking shootings in Colorado since forever, and now she's with me and this happened. But, what can we do? And we just have to keep going, I guess. I don't know. I think the point of this is to give respect for the people whose lives were taken away too quickly. Don't have the names of the people that died, the exact number I think I might have mentioned in the first email, but the first email in the first episode of the podcast, I might have mentioned how many people died. But just to recognize that they're all human beings and that this just did not need to happen to them. But it did, so it feels like just a lot of weight in my mind and my heart and my soul for this. And so once I finished, before I went on my walk the day of August 3rd, my mom asked me where I was going. She looked or sounded like she was crying. Of course, she's an empath like me, and she's just been getting religious, back into religion lately, so she's. This hurts her soul just the way that she is. I mean, I don't blame religion or anything for that. It's just she feels things too. So as I was leaving, she was kind of worried or scared, like why am I leaving? Where am I going? I just told her like I'm going up the street, and so I went and walked for that long and came back home right before it started raining where we were. And when I got home, she, told me she was worried, and I said, "Mom, I have a phone. You can always reach me. You can always talk to me." So I think by the end of that night, by the end of that day, we just all went to bed exhausted and tired, and just, we didn't want to deal with the reality of what had happened yet. So it took us the next day and the day after to sort of assimilate and get through what happened. But and these words that I'm saying don't really do it justice, but it feels like it was a reminder, as horrible as it sounds, a reminder that we should appreciate life and appreciate each other and family and friends and everything. Because you just never know when, not just that per se, but you just never know when you're not going to get the chance to tell a loved one that you love them. So if you have your kids or family or friends or whoever close, you should let them know. And I'm kind of a hypocrite for saying that because I haven't really talked to my dad in a while, and even then, it didn't compel me to call him. I'm sure he's okay, but the time will come when I'll discuss stuff about my dad. Today's not that day. Today's about not so much remembering what happened, just remembering that the people that were killed during these senseless shootings on August 3rd, it's so that they just didn't die in vain, and so that we remind each other that we're just human beings, man, and that no one's better than anyone else, and no one's here to tear down another human being, and it's not their right to do that. Nobody has a right to take away someone else's life. And we're not talking about like death penalty or abortion or all that bullshit. We're just talking about on a human level, just fucking respect each other and be kind to each other. And this is still hard to talk to me. This is hard for me to talk about just because it's still raw and fresh. And I mean, afterwards, the week after I went to the store, I went to Sam's Club and there was extra security. I went to Walmart and there was extra security, but it's a little too little too late. And now Walmart wants to clean up and reopen that store where the shit happened. No one's gonna go shop there. That's like hallowed ground. Like, people died, so I think that's a bad idea. They should close both the Sam's and the Walmart there and just level it out and make a memorial. If they had any shred of decency, they would do that. But that's just my opinion. I have about 10 minutes left, so I'm going to try and upload part one, and then I'll probably try and continue the rest. So for now, I'll say